When Jason Rivers learned his little brother, Anthony, had been killed, he struggled to find the composure to break the news to his mother, to hold back his other brother from retaliating, and to face his own feelings of anger and despair. Jason's job at the time was working in city communities to prevent violence following shootings or fights. Now, he was confronting the same emotions he'd been counseling young men to deal with constructively.
I've helped other people and talked to them and supported them through their grief and encouraged them to not respond with violence. But it's a whole other story when you're living it.
Anthony Rivers was 26 years old in the summer of 2008 when he was shot after being robbed by two teenagers in Pittsburgh's Garfield neighborhood. He was standing outside visiting a friend when the boys approached him. After giving them the chain from around his neck, as they had demanded, they killed him anyway. A high school junior was convicted of his murder the following year. Jason says he was especially stung by comments from emergency responders. He says they didn't have a clue about Anthony.
The assumption is that my brother may have been involved in some illegal activity, and it just couldn't have been further from the case, you know. At the time of his death, he was a recent college graduate and was waiting the return of some paperwork so he could start a chain of daycares. He was a devoted father.
Anthony was also a devoted basketball player. Small in stature, he idolized little guys who made it big in the NBA, and his normally laid-back disposition disappeared when he was on the basketball court. That's why, after Anthony's death, Jason and his family decided to honor him with a memorial to his passion for basketball. They poured their grief into rehabbing a court in East Liberty where Anthony used to play. They filled in cracks, repaired and replaced nets and backboards, and painted Anthony's signature number 3 in black and yellow in the center of the court. On this day, Jason's wife and young sons are shooting around.
We decided we wanted to do something that we had control over, to continue his legacy and write that final chapter of his life. We didn't want to let that be the lasting memory of who he was. It's doing something different with that pain.
Crafting an alternate ending, so to speak, also propelled Braddock's mayor, John Fetterman, to build a memorial to a different victim. On a frigid February evening in 2007, 2-year-old Nia Page was raped by her father, carried to a vacant lot, and left alone in the 4-degree night.
Her last moments must have been beyond awful, and I often will lose my composure, so I apologize in advance if I do, but there were little footprints in the snow. So I can't imagine how she could have processed what had happened to her.
Initially, she was reported missing, and Fetterman was part of the search party, all the while consoling the family and the father.
He knew he did it. He knew all along. It was just such an awful, you know, experience that kind of evil exists in the world. You know, he did it to his own daughter.
Page's father, William, was convicted in 2010 and sentenced to life in prison. Fetterman says the brutality had to be battled with humanity. He named a community center after her and helped erect a sculpture of a butterfly in her memory. Its wings are a kaleidoscope of orange, red, purple, and blue stained glass.
It's a symbol of freedom. Something so awful had been put out into the community, and I wanted something, you know, as an answer to that.
Answering a monstrous deed with something of beauty is part of the reason Betsy Dane came up with the idea for a victim's garden. Dane runs Washington County's Victim Assistance Program. The garden is tucked into a corner behind the courthouse, and from the yard you can hear the jawing of inmates at the adjacent jail, street traffic, and lawyerly conversations as officials pass through the area. But all that noise disappears in close proximity to the garden, because there's the constant rush of a small waterfall that cascades in between nearly 100 smooth oval stones.
We have stones that are engraved with everyone's name who has been a victim of homicide in Washington County. Some of them are very well known. They've been high profile type cases, and some of them you would never, ever know.
They add stones only after receiving permission from the victims' families. Dane says the garden is a comfort to them. She recalls one mother who spent time sitting by the garden collecting her thoughts during the trial for her murdered daughter.
And it was a very spiritual moment for her. And she felt very much in sync or in tune with the whole concept of having a garden which requires tending to and symbolizes regrowth. It was very helpful for her.
After more than a decade of working with the program, Dane says the feelings her job elicits still unsettle her.
It's overwhelming. I think I take my inspiration from the families. Such incredible grace under horrendous circumstances, because the criminal justice system doesn't always do what they want it to do. It doesn't close the book.
She says they don't use the word closure, and the garden, with its modest stones and little stream, does not symbolize the end of the story. Instead, these permanent memorials are about finding a response to a scenario no one dreamed possible. They're about giving a sense of permanency to a name and a life that might otherwise disappear from memory. I'm Larkin Page Jacobs, 90.5 WESA News.